Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, Sri Uddhava said, My dear Vidura, the sun of the world, Lord Krishna has set, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare? Purport. The disappearance of Krishna may be explained as follows. According to the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Vidur was struck with great sorrow when he got the hint of the annihilation of the great Yadu dynasty as well as his own family, the Kuru dynasty. Uddhava could understand the grief of Vidur, and therefore he first wanted to sympathize with him by saying that after the sunset, everyone is in darkness. Since the entire world was merged in the darkness of grief, neither Vidur nor Uddhav nor anyone else could be happy. Uddhav was as much aggrieved as Vidur, and there was nothing further to be said about their welfare. The comparison of Krishna to the sun is very appropriate. As soon as the sun sets, darkness automatically appears. But the darkness experienced by the common man does not affect the sun itself, either at the time of sunrise or at the time of sunset. Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are exactly like that of the sun. Lord Krishna, he appears and disappears in innumerable universes, and as long as he is present in a particular universe, there is all transcendental light in that universe. But the universe form which he passes away is put into darkness. His pastimes, however, are everlasting. The Lord is always present in some universe, just as the sun is present in either the eastern or western hemisphere. The sun is always present either in India or in America, or sometimes in UK. But when the sun is present in India, the American land is in darkness, and when the sun is present in America, the Indian hemisphere is in darkness. As the sun appears in morning and gradually rises to the meridian, and then again sets in one hemisphere while simultaneously rising in the other, so Lord Krishna's disappearance in one universe and the beginning of his different pastimes in another take place simultaneously. As soon as the pastime is finished here, it is manifested in another universe, and his Nitya Nila or eternal pastimes are going on without ending. As the sun rises, sunrise takes place once in 24 hours. Similarly, the pastimes of Lord Krishna take place in a universe once in the day of Brahma, the account of which is given in Bhagavad Gita. But when the Lord is present, all his different pastimes as described in the revealed scriptures take place at regular intervals. As at the sunset, the snakes become very powerful. The thieves are encouraged. The ghosts become active. The lotus becomes disfigured. And Chakravaki laments. So with the disappearance of Lord Krishna, the atheists feel enlivened, and the devotees become sorry. Om Agyananti Mirandasya Gyananjala Shulakya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Vapatkam Vande Ham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunath Anmitam Tam Sajivan Tam Paitam Sadhitam Tevishnam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyai Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Hare Krishna. First of all, I want to really express my gratitude that in the month of Kartik, I've been allowed to do this service to speak on this wonderful verse. And I think this verse is what I call it the game-changing verse of Bhagavatam. You know, when you see a game, there's a moment in that game that's a game-changer. And this verse, I think, is a game-changer. Why do I say that? because this verse announces a very, very important event, which actually embarks changing of a yuga. So the Dwapar Yuga has ended and the Kali Yuga started. And the Kali Yuga will be what will happen for the next so many decades, years. So this is very important. So I just take the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, Acharyas, Guru Maharaj, and all the devotees present here and in online, so that right words come out of my mouth at the right time, and maybe I can do some justice with the verse. So the way the class will go is that we will first talk about the two personalities in the verse, who are participating in the verse. Then we'll mention a few important messages from the verse itself, take some very important words and dissect them. Then we'll talk about the a little bit about the purport. And then we will see what are the take-home, what are the messages that we, what we do, what we learn from this verse. And finally, some take-home messages. So, Sukhdev Goswami outlines the qualities of Uddhav. Why should we hear from Uddhav? Of course, content is very important, what he says. But what is most important about Srimad Bhagavatam is the emotions. Sukhdev Goswami has got this unique ability to narrate the pastimes of various devotees. You know, these pastimes we can hear in different scriptures. Scriptures are various scriptures have got various informations. But Sukhdev Goswami has got this unique ability to zoom on that particular emotion. And when that emotion comes out in that content from that great devotee, that's supposed to transform our heart. So when we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not simply information we are getting. There is heart transformation going on. Why? Because we hear from a pure devotee about the emotions of these exalted devotees who are being participating in this leela. So the transformation is the key about Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because we don't have to just take information, we have to take the nectar from that. So effectively we are hearing from Uddhava. So just thinking about what Krishna consciousness means. Krishna consciousness means a lot to different people. But essentially, Krishna consciousness means being aware of conscious or being conscious of Krishna. Being aware or conscious of being conscious of Krishna. But what it also means that Krishna is conscious about us. But what is the most important thing about Krishna consciousness? The most important thing that we are conscious that Krishna is conscious of us. So every activity that we do in our lives, forget about just being devotional, in devotion, every activity we do, we should be aware that Krishna is conscious of us. If we can be conscious of that one particular thought, that Krishna is conscious of us every single moment, we will probably never do anything which Krishna will not be happy with. And that's devotion service. So, Uddhav, let's just talk about Uddhav himself. Now, I'm so grateful to the two previous speakers who have brought about the preamble to this verse about talking about the symptoms of devotional life. And Vinod Krishna Prabhu yesterday was mentioning about these devotees. So, in the verse which you've already gone through, in the second verse of this chapter, we get a glimpse of Uddhav's childhood. So, he was one, even in his childhood at the age of 5 years, he was so absorbed that in service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for morning breakfast, he did not wish to have it. Now, a lot of us would say, what's the big deal? You know, mom calls and children and youngsters would say, mother calls and, you know, we say we are doing something, we'll come over and we'll come for breakfast. What's the big deal? But no, it is a big deal. When I was growing up in India and when in certain cultures and even in today's families, eating together is a very big deal. It's a very, very important part of life. And when parents call, kids come up. So not coming up when mother called him for breakfast was a big deal. What was he doing? He was absorbed in Krishna. And so when in purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that He used to be playing with the dolls in the form of Krishna. He would serve the dolls by dressing them, feeding them, worshipping them. And this, he was constantly absorbed in Krishna. So we get a glimpse of Uddhava. Of course, a lot can be said about Uddhava. In the fourth chapter of the third canto, in the 14th verse, Uddhava himself said that, "Vidur, when I was thus favored at every moment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and addressed by Him with great affection, my words failed in tears." So he's himself saying that he was favored at every single moment. Now that personality we are hearing from this today. And in the 21st verse of the same chapter, the fourth chapter of the third canto, he says, "My dear Vidur, now I am mad for want of the pleasure of seeing Him." So he realizes that when Lord is leaving him, he's saying that I'm mad for want of the pleasure of seeing Him. He's telling us that, you know, try be mad after Krishna. Just try to see Him. Try to be mad about seeing Him. And he says, "Just to mitigate this, I am now proceeding to the Badrika Ashram in Himalayas for association as I have instructed by Him." So that's Uddhav. Who is Vidur? Of course, we know who Vidur is. He was insulted by his brother and Duryodhan, so he left. And then he visited all the places of pilgrimage, did all the rituals. But we get a little glimpse from the two verses in the fifth chapter of the third canto, when there's a samvad between Maitreya Muni and Vidur. And Maitreya says, "I know that you are now Vidur due to the cursing of Mandavya Muni." And I'm sure you've heard the story how he was cursed by Mandavya Muni. "And that formerly you were King Yamraj, the great controller of living entities after their death. You were begotten by the son of Satyavati and Vyasadeva in the kept wife of his brother." And in the next verse, Maitreya Muni mentions, "Your good self is one of the eternal associates of Supreme Personality of Godhead, who for the sake of the Lord, while going back to his abode, left instructions with me." Now that is so, so important. Just think of it. Lord is leaving this planet, and he is passing on the instructions for one person. That's Vidur. He's telling Maitreya Muni, he's giving instructions so that he can be passed on to Vidur. How fortunate can Vidur get, or how close Vidur can be? So we are hearing this samvad, or this question answer in this verse from these two very, very important personalities. Why is Vidur asking this question? To which Uddhava is responding that, "What can I say about our good fortune?" Vidur had already been to Prabhas. He already had the idea that the Yadu dynasty has been killed. So why is he asking again? Okay, so we'll leave that question so that you can keep meditating in your mind, and we'll come to that in a minute. So let's get to the verse. So, Krishna Dyumani. What does Krishna Dyumani mean? Dyu comes from is a synonym of fire, but actually is referring here to in terms of light. So it's light. You can say it's sun, it's day, knowledge, or you can say it's heaven or enlightenment. So whichever word you want to use. So Dyu means light. So Krishna Dyu Mani. Mani means jewel. So this is being referred to the shining jewel. Krishna is being referred to the shining jewel. So of course we know Krishna is everything. But Krishna is shining jewel. And I was reflecting on this word shining jewel. So we often get low. We feel depressed about things. Things just don't go right in our lives. But if suddenly somebody offers some hope, or offers some sweet words, or offers a solution to our problem, how good we feel. So something shines. So Krishna Dyumani. So if we can have at that moment a shine, just thinking of Krishna and a shine coming in our mind, we can overcome that moment of grief very quickly. So that's Krishna Dyumani. Now, the next word is Nimloche. Loche, eyes, lochan, eyes. And Nim means closed. So, the effect effectively is referring to that the star or sun of Krishna has set or disappeared. So in the Vishnu Sahasranam, the Shloka 26, there is this reference of Nimisha and Animisha, Lord as Nimisha and Animisha. And I'm sure you all have heard about why he is called Nimisha and Animisha. So Krishna can also see everything with his eyes closed. So, you know, sometimes we see that Krishna forgot that he was Lord in Vrindavan. When gopis or gopas were playing with him, he never thought he was God. So why did he forget? He didn't forget. He was so absorbed in that love and that leela that he didn't want to remember it. So then you might ask that if he is so absorbed and he is himself forgotten that he is the Lord, and if we are going to pray at that time, how are our prayers going to reach him? How is he going to see our prayers? But the Lord, we know, that can even see everything with his eyes closed. So when he's absorbed playing flute, or when he's absorbed doing his leela, obviously he can see everything. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gauranitai ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. You know, there are so many wonderful things about giving class at the manor. For me, this moment is the best moment. We are talking of sunset here, but how when the curtain closes, we feel so sad in a way. But this is the sunrise when the Lord suddenly appears. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said in his commentary that he was fully absorbed even in Vrindavan. And Shankaracharya said that in even Yog Nidra, he although closes his eyes, but he's aware of everything. So it also reflects, Nimisha word also reflects about the devotee. So when the devotee is fully absorbed, and we know about, yogi is going to samadhi, but when we are fully absorbed, what do? We don't keep our eyes open and fully absorbed. We actually close our eyes when we meditate. So even Nimisha refers to the devotee of the Lord who is fully absorbed in the Lord. And of course, the classical description is that why does Lord close the eyes? Because he doesn't want to see devotee doing wrong. He doesn't want to see anything wrong in the devotee. And as you know, the Animisha means exactly opposite, keeping the eyes open. And it is referred, Lord Jagannath is all eyes, is referred as the open eyes. So why is Lord keeping those big eyes open? He's always searching. The Lord is always searching for that little service that his devotee does. Not even a major service, just a little service. You know, we are all hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam class. This is the one, this pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord that in month of Kartik, devotees are say, coming together, talking about the Lord, hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord. That little service, the Lord is keeping his eyes open. So Radha Gokulanand is observing us, so we better behave ourselves. it's also when you talk about the fish or the mean avatar, the fish doesn't have the eyelids. So if somebody meditates on the mean avatar, they get knowledge and mercy. So so that is about the about Krishna Dyumani Nimloche. Now in the next line, there's a word ha. So what does reflect? Haha. When somebody says haha, that's like joy, happiness, or maybe a little bit of satire. But also if it says haha, it's hahakar, means sorrow. So when it's spoken fast, it's joy, but it's mostly used in terms of sorrow. So when you speak slowly, that means we are crying out. So here Uddhava is expressing sorrow. And of course, Vidur is unhappy also. So Vidur knew that Kurus and Yadavs have already departed. But why was he asking? This is the question we first raised. Sometimes somebody is in denial. So they want to keep asking the same question till they get the answer they want. So they might want to just hear that, no, everything is fine, Krishna is here, everybody is fine. No, so he wants to hear that. But also, he wants to share his sorrow, his broken heart with another pure devotee of the Lord. And he thinks that how he will get something back. So how Uddhav is feeling, he's feeling the most unhappy a person can get. And he thinks, Ajgar actually means python. You know, python swallows creatures live. So that's how Uddhav is feeling, that somebody has swallowed him and he's feeling so low. Now, obviously, Prabhupada mentions about the time, that the time has swallowed. Prabhupada mentions in the translation that being swallowed by the great snake of time. But actually, first is when you can see a snake, you get scared anyway. But if you see a python, if the python swallows, that's how low Uddhav is feeling. So, and he's saying, because of Uddhav's attachment to Krishna. Now, you know, when some we lose a close relative, when a close relative leaves, how low we feel, how bad we feel. Now, how bad should we feel if Krishna leaves? So if Krishna leaves our lives, we are gone. And what does it translate into practicality? It translates into practicality is that Krishna consciousness, or being Krishna conscious, or being a devotee of Krishna, is the only savior. Only hope. If it's exactly opposite, if Krishna leaves, or if we leave Krishna consciousness, where are we going to be? So we are just so fortunate. This is coming from, we can take inspiration from Uddhav. So Uddhav actually says, Kimnu, what can I say? What can I say? How bad I'm feeling? What can I say about our welfare? You're talking about welfare? It's the opposite. Similar sentiments, as you would know, were expressed by Arjun as well when he went to meet Yudhishthir. So, in this way, Uddhav is also sympathizing with Vidur. And this is a very important message here. That when somebody is feeling low, what do you say to that person? You first listen, you understand, and then you speak. And what if you can show, or if we can show, that we are in the same boat, the loss is not only yours, loss is mine as well, then it makes it so much easier for a person to handle it. So we also need to think about here another important concept about darkness. So because here it's mentioned that the son of Lord Krishna has disappeared, there's darkness. Now, you know, in our day-to-day life, the sun rises, there's a day. Sometimes it's lighted outside. Of course, a lot of times it's dark in the UK, but sometimes it is lighted. But at the time of sunset, there's darkness. So we don't prepare for darkness after the darkness arrives. We all have electricity, we all have lighting, we have got candles, we have got something to light our house or light our surroundings before the darkness appears. So what is this message here? The message here is that although it's been mentioned that Krishna has disappeared and there is darkness, but we don't have to wait till that point of time for the darkness to arrive to deal with it. We have to deal with it much, much before. We much have to prepare before. And I will bring the concept of what is the ultimate loss that we can have and how do we prepare about it. So we'll just come back to that in a minute. So Lord says Uddhav says that the great snake of time, and we know what time means. Time is obviously is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world, but here Kaal is so strong. Do we realize that there are only two forms of time? Past and future. Do you all agree? No, because you'll say there's a present, right? But there is no present. The moment you say now, it's gone. Become a past. So it's either future or past. So time is so important, and there are so many verses, and I think we're going to be running short of time. But in Kunti Maharaj says in the 28th verse in her prayers in the 8th chapter of the first canto, "My Lord, I consider your lordship to be the eternal time." And in the 38th verse, it says, as the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities along with Pandavas, Yadus will end at once. That's Kunti Maharani saying. And she's saying that, are you, in the 37th verse, are you leaving us today? Though we are completely dependent on your mercy and no one else is there to protect us. So here we see that how do we prepare ourselves for that darkness, and that this theme is coming out. What the theme is coming out about? That when Kunti Maharani says that we are completely dependent on your mercy, that is the only saving grace, is that we have got the dependence and the absorption. So, and we understand that this is, Krishna is our only shelter, and he makes things happen. So, story time. So, you've all heard the story of the cobbler and the Brahmin. Let's just recap it, because it's a wonderful story to recap in terms of absorption. So, as you know, Narad was going to Vaikuntha to meet Lord Narayan, and on his way, he meets this cobbler. And cobbler is just, you know, doing... Cobbler in Hindi is called mochi. So he does menial jobs. So he's doing his, you know, he's doing the his job. And so Narad comes. So he gives him a nice seat, offers sweet words, and he doesn't have much to offer. So so cobbler says, where are you going? He said, I'm just going to visit the Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. So he said, okay, just ask him what's my fate, when I'm going to be relieved from this life. So he says, sure. Then he goes along and he meets this wonderful Brahman, who's just dedicated all his life, generations of his life to worship of the Lord. And so he says, where are you going? So Narad Muni says, I'm going to meet Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. So he says, please ask me when I will be going back. So fair enough. So Narad Muni reaches Vaikuntha and Lord Narayan says, what happened in your travels? So he says, I met this cobbler, I met this Brahman, and they were both asking, what is their fate? When would they go back? So Lord says, tell the cobbler that he's going back after this lifetime. And he says, what about Brahman? So he said, so Lord says, Brahman will have to carry on doing his devotional service for quite a while. And Narad is just taken aback a little bit. But anyway, that's Lord's instruction. So he comes back. So he meets the Brahman. But Lord says that... So when Lord sees Narad being perplexed, he says, tell them that if they ask what was Lord doing, just say that he was threading the elephant back and forth from the eye of the needle. So fair enough. So he goes to Brahman. Brahman says, well, what did Lord say? Lord says that you'll have to carry on doing your devotional service. He said, that's not possible. I'm ready to go. I've done everything. And he says, I don't even think you actually went to meet Lord Narayan. He said, yes, sir, I did. What was he doing? So he was threading the elephant from the eye of the needle back and forth. He said, see, I told you never went there. Nobody can do that. So he moves on and then he goes to the cobbler. And the cobbler says, you went to Lord Narayan, what happened? So he said, you're going back after this lifetime. He said, really? Did Lord say that? He said, you don't believe it? He said, no, I can't believe it. How? I don't deserve this. So he said, but I'll tell you what Lord was doing. Narayan said, then you'll believe it. He said, Lord was threading the elephant to the needle of the eye. So he said, Jai. Said, what do you mean, Jai? Why do you believe this? How can somebody thread the elephant to the needle? He said, why not? The Lord can do everything. He said, see this big banyan tree. If the Lord can pack this big banyan tree in a small seed, he can do everything. So that's our faith. The reason I quoted this story is just to say that the only recourse we have is to have faith and absorption. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what we learn from this verse. I'm going to go a little bit over my time at 8:30 because this is very important for me. So we talk about Vaikuntha and we talk about Kuntha. So Kuntha means anxiety, and Vaikuntha means where there is no anxiety. But this is material world is Kuntha, full of anxiety. So just think in your mind what makes you anxious? Try and really bring it down to one point. Is there anybody in this room who is not anxious at any time? Please raise your hands. We've got one hand up there, but Lord is watching you, so remember what you're raising your hand with. Okay, besides this particular devotee who's never anxious, I think all of us get anxious at some point. So why do we get anxious? Because we are fearful. What are we afraid of? We are afraid of losing something. We are afraid of losing our possessions, our attachment to our family, our money, maybe our house, maybe our name, maybe our fame. We are fearful of losing it, and that's what makes us anxious. If we fall sick, and obviously you're listening from a surgeon, so obviously that's the most important example which will come in my life, is if somebody is sick, why are they anxious? They're anxious about losing some function of their organ or being invalid or something like that. And that's really what makes us anxious, is fear of losing. What's the biggest fear people have? Is losing what exactly? Govind Prabhu is right. Losing this body, death. That's the biggest fear we have. If somehow in this lifetime we can overcome that fear of that attachment of this body, from fear of losing us and fear of death, believe me, there's almost no anxiety left. There will be, of course, anxious anxiety at the moment, but it will significantly reduce. So this fear and anxiety is what leads to us being most anxious. And that's what I want to talk about, is the sunset, about the death, about the light going off, about losing everything. And one of the very important things is, going forward, just stay for 2 more minutes. I want to just make this point because I want to give you an exercise to take when you're going back home. Is that just imagine the day of death. When it arrives, there's one thing which we'll never be able to, is to address our regrets. So I would give an exercise to all of you, is think and put it down on a piece of paper, what potential regrets you might have on the day when you are facing death. These young individuals sitting here, they're although nodding, but it's not relating to them. It's people like us who are now in his 50s, 60s or 70s, it relates to us. But important thing is just think of that regrets. There could be 4 regrets, 5 regrets, 6 regrets. Just write them down. And 6 or 7 of them, 2 or 3 of them may not apply to you. It might be that I've got this desire to get something, a bigger house or a nice car. Now that might not apply to you, but write it down and say, okay, it doesn't apply to me. It might be that I want to go more deeper into Srimad Bhagavatam. That might be a regret. Now, if you write down those regrets today and start working on them, even if you have not finished it completely, on the day of the death, you will get this thought that, oh, I've got these regrets, and that day you will not be able to address them. But if you have addressed them today, then at least you will have that satisfaction that I addressed all my regrets, I've done all my unfinished business. And then one could die peacefully. Because when we talk about remembering Lord Krishna at the time of death, what people are overcome by all these thoughts. And hence thought of Krishna doesn't come. Although we chant, we practice whole life, we do our devotional service, but at the time of death, it's very overwhelming what these thoughts come. I know them because I see people dying. When I, you know, in my medical life, I see people dying. And I know these they are overwhelmed by only, I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have done that. I wish I would have done this much. So if we address them today, we've got still some more life left with Krishna's mercy. We will be able to die so peacefully. So I know you have to go, but this is a very important aspect of preparation for the dark. So I just want to mention that in the Isha Upanishad, the 17th mantra, in the last three mantras, their prayers, and this mantra is very strong. Let this temporary body be burned to ashes, and let the air of life be merged with totality of air. But what the devotee is saying, and this is, you might find it controversial. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. That's coming from the heart. That is so desperate. But if we haven't done that, how can we even pray that at that time? So we have to prepare. So it's a preparation of lifetimes, not simply preparation of chanting. That's very important. Doing devotional service is very important, being absorbed. But preparation of our mindset is very important. So when we talk about Krishna Dyumani Nimloche, when we talk about the sun of Krishna has set, we have to prepare for that sunset now. So I always make this point that Krishna consciousness is not a luxury. It's an emergency. When our house is on fire, you would probably not look for those 10 pounds that you kept there, or your passport, or your belongings. You will need to get out of the house. Otherwise, you'll be gone. We are in this state. As Guru Maharaj said the other day, that they are the traffic light, the red, the amber, the green. The green is life. Red, we are gone. And amber is flashing. It is flashing that the red may come. A lot of us are not able to see it. We hear about it. We even speak in our talks. We speak in our classes. But we don't see the red light coming. My request to you is to think that please do not get into this illusion, this will never happen to us. It's coming to all of us. But happily, on a happier note, we prepare for it. Once we are prepared for it, or we are preparing for it, we have no anxiety left. So whatever time we have, we can thoroughly enjoy. When we can not only enjoy, but we can enjoy our Krishna consciousness. If we are elated, the chanting becomes so much better. If we are down, chanting, we are chanting, but it's not the same. So let's, for the sake of our Krishna consciousness also. And so the 12th canto, the 3rd chapter, 51st verse, it says, Krishna is non-different than his holy name. And he has now appeared to guide us and mitigate us through this age of Kali Yuga. So we did say that when Krishna Dyumani Nimloche, it announces the Kali Yuga has come. But when we read this 51st verse of the 3rd chapter and 12th canto, the holy name is non-different than Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. So one of your regrets, I hope, should be that I'm not going deep enough into my spiritual life. Certainly is mine. And we can start working on it. So in this month of Kartik, and of course every day, let's just remember that Krishna consciousness is not a luxury. It's a gift to us. It's an emergency. But we are very, very fortunate. So let's be thankful. Let's be express our gratitude in the way that the cobbler had the faith that Lord can thread the elephant to the needle back and forth. So just to conclude, we discussed the two personalities, Uddhav and Vidur, and they are so important personalities, as the Lord left his last instructions for Vidur, and Uddhav is his childhood friend. We discussed the verse where we discussed Krishna Dyumani Limloche, and we discussed the word Ha, and we say that Kim Nuna, what are you into? What can I even say? Then we discuss in the purport why it's the sun, setting of the sun is and disappearance and appearance of Krishna is just like setting and appearing of the sun. We then discussed about lessons that we have learned, and we specifically talked about preparation for the sunset, which is preparation for death. We are going to take home one exercise, is to go home today or another, on the weekend, write down our regrets in our lives, and those regrets we need to start working on. So when the day of death arrives, we are in no anxiety. And ultimately Krishna consciousness brings about detachment. It brings about renunciation. We don't reduce our responsibilities by detachment, but we just get a sense of detachment. So on the day, again, anxiety would be less. And finally, we know that there is, all this is hope, because Krishna's holy name is with us. Srimad Bhagavatam is with us. Exalted Vaishnavas are with us. Our Guru is with us. And Devani is with us. So we've got this wonderful treasure that we can work through our life. But if we reduce the anxiety, the enjoyment would be far more. And finally, we say that Krishna consciousness is not a luxury, it's an emergency. Our house is on fire. We need to get out there and practice it. Hare Krishna. So we might take one or two questions if there are any. Otherwise, we can stop the talk here. But thank you very much for being wonderful listeners. I think the the mention of death and stuns everybody, but you know, we still have some time, hopefully, so we can work on it. Okay, I think we can end the talk here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.